This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We are standing by for our guest. NFL insider Jordan Schultz is going to join us from Fox. He is not only an NFL insider, he does a podcast, Why is Draymond Green Talking About Football with Jordan Schultz, which is on Instagram every Thursday at 6:30. So maybe after we're wrapping up tonight, if you want to. You know, of course, you'll be listening to The Fan after dark, but at some point, you know, after 11, before 6 in the morning, maybe you'll find some appropriate time to watch that show and see why Draymond Green's talking football. We'll ask Jordan Schultz what's going on here. Draymond Green, probably a big football fan, obviously. Went to Michigan State, big college football school. Jordan Schultz is joining us here in just a couple of minutes. Tomorrow, your next chance to pick up a 2024 G-Bag Nation flag is going to be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Louisville. KMC Masterpiece is up there. Kevin and Corey are going to be having a great time with you and, you know, handing out some terrific G-Bag swag there in forms of the 2024 G-Bag Nation Whataburger flag. Okay, while we wait for Jordan, let's talk a little bit of Cowboys. Okay, I love this question that Todd Archer brought up this morning in his piece with ESPN Dallas. Are we about to see the end of the franchise record 19-game streak without a 100-yard rusher? You got to go back to week 3 of last year, Tony Pollard against Arizona, to find a 100-yard performance from this from any Cowboys running back, any individual.
I wouldn't guess that game. You know, when you think back to that, it seemed like they were playing from behind the whole time. That Tony Pollard even ran for 100.
They were committed that day. I think 21 runs.
And you're playing with backup linemen in that game.
You were.
Yeah, but the Cowboys, Rico Dowdle, 87 yards, 20 carries, marked the closest a running back has been to the century mark since Pollard's conquest. He did that against the league's fourth-ranked run defense. So that kind of begins Todd Archer's premise of his thing, right? Like, okay, they're not using Zeke and Vaughn as much. They're giving it to the right runner, and they just, you know, had this game against, a pretty dang good defense there in the Steelers. From Halloween 1965 to November of 1966, the Cowboys win 18 games between 100-yard efforts from their tailback.
Don Perkins.
And from 2009 to 2010 and 2012 to 2013, the Cowboys went 17 games without a 100-yard rusher. So that was, like, I think at the beginning of the DeMarco Murray era.
Where that's what I would guess.
They didn't realize they had a beast on their hands. Yep. Okay. As Joining us now here on Your Home of the Cowboys, 105 Through the Fan, is the Fox Sports NFL Insider and the co-host of the new podcast there, Why Is Draymond Green Talking About Football? It's Jordan Schultz with you here on the Fan. Good afternoon, sir. How the heck you doing?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, yeah, thanks for joining us. And could you answer that question for us? That was an interest for us here in studio. Why is Draymond Green talking football now?
You know, it's one of those things that came together really organically. We had a mutual connection, a mutual friend, and we started to discuss our love of sports, and then football came up, and I didn't realize that Dre was such a big football fan. And once I realized that, I started to, I guess you could say, test his knowledge by pushing him on some topics and just seeing how much he knew. And I was really impressed, like really impressed. And we had a few conversations, and then, you know, to like see if we actually had that chemistry, I flew out to L.A. in August and spent the day with him basically and just talked football and realized that we had something that we thought was that was really special. And, you know, like he's such a polarizing guy, you know, everyone – I think with Draymond, what's super cool, and I don't have this quality, I don't have this trait, is that a lot of people like him and a lot of people don't, but it feels as if everyone likes to hear what he has to say. You know, they're interested in what he has to say. And, you know, he's adversarial, but in person, like one-on-one, he's not. And in the show, he is. So there's all these variations of him that I like, and it's been really cool. We're live every Thursday night, 7:30 Eastern, so that'll be 6:30 for you guys on Instagram.
And he hasn't tried to choke you yet or punch you or anything?
No, but, you know, he got I think it was it's a media day. He got a little chippy with one of the reporters, local reporters, asking him if he was I think he said, the reporter said, you know, the fans are a little worried about
me. Yeah.
And he said, why, you know, why are they worried? They don't need to be worried about me. And it was this whole thing. And then in person, you know, it's like he's totally different. Like, it's such a different dynamic. And I feel like when we're on the show, he morphs back into that, what you see on TV. And he's a fascinating guy. I really like him. And he wants to – listen, this guy wants to be in media for 20-something years. Like, this is yeah. – he's obviously already doing it at a high level.
Yeah, he's so, already good at that. And he's good at basketball. He's such a great passer, you know. And I don't think of a lot of basketball players as being tough like football players, but he's one of them. How good of a football player was he?
Well, he was pretty good. He was very successful at a young age with basketball, and he goes to Michigan State, wins a couple state titles. But his freshman year at Michigan State, he played in the spring football game, basically a tight end, I guess he was.
Okay.
So he does it, and I asked him what happened, and he said that's when he knew that football wasn't for him because he got tattooed by a defensive lineman who basically put him in a chokehold. with his hands, and he realized just how big and strong those guys were, because he's a big strong guy. I mean,
yeah.
He's all of 6'6", 6'7", and you know 240 pounds, and he's a beast. And I said, well, yeah, but you're a big guy. And he says, yeah, but that football strength, that football mentality is different. So I think he was a good football player, but you know, there's that argument that you've seen a lot is, could NFL guys have success in the NBA, or who would have more, NBA or NFL, switching sports? And I've gone back and forth with it, but I think it's harder to go, in my opinion, from football to basketball. I think that's almost impossible.
So we're talking with NFL insider Jordan Schultz here on 105.3 The Fan. It was interesting with Woj stepping down on ESPN. They were kind of teasing like, okay, maybe Jeff Passan, who does baseball, or we'll just have Adam Schefter maybe be the Woj replacement. Congratulations to Shams. Do you think you'd be able to double dip in the NFL and the NBA as an insider?
You know, not only do I think I would not be able to do it, I think it would be an absolute catastrophe. Dude, it's so hard. Like, I don't even know. I saw those reports, and I was really surprised because I know how hard it is to do one. The only way you could potentially make the switch one sport is if you got, you know, grandfathered in with the contacts. Like, if Woj were to give Jeff all of his contacts, or Adam all of his contacts, then and say, like, you know, this is what, but even then you don't have the relationships, you don't have that sweat equity. And you know, I've gotten pretty pretty friendly with Adam over the years. I was at ESPN for a period, and I was basically trying to do both, not realizing how hard it was and how unsuccessful I'd be. And I think it's impossible. And it, you know, just to make the switch from one sport to a different would be, to me, almost impossible. But to do both simultaneously, I don't know how anyone could do it.
Fox Sports NFL Insider Jordan Schultz with you here in the G-Bag Nation. So what's the hottest story buzzing right now in the NFL that guys are talking about? Is it Devontae Adams' next destination or something else?
Devontae for sure, but that's also been looped into the Robert Saleh stuff. Like,
yeah.
You know, the Robert Saleh situation, I'm sure you have followed, and I know it's been a few days now, but it's so strange to me how everything went down. I mean, the guy goes into work on Monday after London. He's there all day preparing for the next Monday night game a week from, you know, next week. And then he comes back Tuesday and he gets there early again and he's talking to his coaches and watching film. And then Christopher Johnson and Woody Johnson, the owners of the Jets, come down to his office. And by the way, they're circumventing the GM. The GM isn't really aware of this. They go down to his office and they fire the guy. I mean, I've never heard of that. Like, it doesn't – listen, every front office is different, and obviously the Cowboys operate in a pretty unique way. But there has to be some kind of collaborative approach. And I think with all due respect to the Jets, you know, this ownership took over in 2000. They have the 26th worst winning percentage since then. They have not been in the playoffs in 13 years, which is really hard to do in the NFL. And I really think they want Jeff Ulbrich, the interim, to win the job. Everyone in that building really likes him. He comes from that quite a successful coaching lineage. He was in Atlanta with Kyle Shanahan and Mike McDaniel. And listen, this guy has a lot of ability as a coach. I mean, the Jets blocked his request when the Niners lost to Mikko. The Niners wanted to bring him in, and he obviously played there. But at the same time, for Woody Johnson to say that Robert Saleh was the best they could do this season is wild to me when you fire the guy five games in. I mean, this was a really hot coaching cycle. You know, you had Ben Johnson out there and Dan Quinn and, you know, Bill Belichick. Obviously, he doesn't necessarily like the Jets, but there were a lot of really, really strong candidates. And they just, you know, Mike Vrabel is another one, and they decided that they were going to go with Robert Saleh. And then, you know, basically 5 weeks into the season, they say he's not the guy. It's just incredibly strange.
Jordan, how believable was Aaron Rodgers' statement about his involvement?
You know, I reported the day of the firing because one of those on the phone all day deals.
Sure.
And I reported that he was blindsided by it. And when he went on with Pat the next day, you know, he basically said the same thing. The entire building was shocked. The defensive players included. And I think the fact that Woody calls Aaron the night before,
yeah,
and Aaron says we didn't talk about it, that's what has people, you know, really questioning Aaron. As does the report that I didn't report this, but it was reported that that Robert Saleh was on the verge of firing Nathaniel Hackett, who's obviously Aaron's guy.
Right.
And so the timing of that seems strange. I'll certainly admit that, but I have to go on what I was told, which was that Aaron had no influence in the firing, and that his relationship with Saleh, albeit not perfect, was certainly functional.
Do you think that Woody Johnson told Aaron about the potential of firing Hackett, and that got in, maybe the conversation then switched? Could that be a possibility?
Okay, so you're asking, could Woody have told Aaron?
Yeah, could Woody have said that? Yeah, the intent that he was going to fire that his guy that Hackett was potentially going to be fired, and that maybe Aaron Rodgers said. Now, go ahead.
That's a really interesting question. Man, it's tough because I was told so vehemently that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
That certainly would make sense. But I also don't know, I never asked to confirm that report that he was going to fire him. So it's hard for me to speak on that. You know, I think Aaron, when he said it's funny to him how much power people think he has, that statement you know, I live in New York, and that statement, I was just asking friends that are Jet fans, and that statement bothered them because they feel like he's a mercenary and that he came there and he has all the power. Mm-hmm. So I understand where they're coming from, but I think also Aaron not being there last year for the majority of the season, no, if he really knew what he was getting himself into with the Jets, because this is an organization that is simply, it's not a healthy organization. It's not a functional organization. And you can look at the playoff stats and lack of wins, lack of success to see that. And I don't think Robert Saleh was a particularly good head coach, but I also don't know that they gave him a ton to succeed with over the course of his 5 years. So Aaron not being there last year also, to me, speaks to some of this. Listen, at some point, you know, maybe there are more things that come out, but at this point, I have to go with what I've been told.
It's NFL insider Jordan Schultz with us. You know, we're pretty clear that the Cowboys aren't going to do anything big, but are you hearing if they're involved in trying to make the team better? Anything, any Cowboys buzz out there?
I haven't. It's still really early, though, and the trade deadline getting pushed back a week into November past Halloween has changed things. So, in other words, some of these clubs, like a Carolina, for example, that struggled and has obviously made the big quarterback change. So they're 1-3. If they win this weekend, then they're 2-3, and they're back in it. If they lose, they're 1-4, and then they could be 1-5 with a tough game. But because the timeline has been pushed back with the trade deadline, it's still a little bit early on the trade front. I mean, Dallas, I was pretty quick to go out and say that Dallas had no interest legitimately in Devontae Adams. There's just no way that they were in. Obviously, who was it that came out? It wasn't Jerry. It was
Steven.
Someone came out the next day. Yeah, Steven, guess who it was? And he says, listen, we're not going that route. The Cowboys are in a tough position in the sense that I don't think the first month has gone as well as they thought. They come off a pretty emotional come-from-behind win. But I still don't know if the Cowboys know what their identity is. They haven't gotten the run game going the way they need. I think they really miss Tony Pollard. I don't think Dak has been quite as sharp as he was last year. And clearly, unless Jalen Tolbert really is going to be the number two, and maybe he is, with Brandon Cooks on IR, I would just highlight that position as a position of need. And so that's where I would look. And then obviously they have the injuries on the defensive line, and perhaps they would upgrade there at some point. But I think it's still a little bit, I'd say 2 weeks early for me to really speculate on them. But I wouldn't imagine them spending acquiring anybody that's going to require them to spend real money.
I've always felt the Cowboys seem to get connected with every big name that's out there. Is that something for you? Like,
yeah.
that happens? Like, agents just kind of float the Cowboys?
Agents want to float the Cowboys because they know if they do, it'll get tread. It'll get traction. You know, and I've had agents. There are certain brand teams, Dallas, Philadelphia, the Giants, basically just the whole NFC East in general. But, you know, now obviously the teams like the Chiefs and the Bills, just teams that will drive traffic. You know, it's a very specific formula, and I think sometimes it does work. I think the Raiders would have loved for the Cowboys to be involved with the Devontae Adams sweepstakes. They're not. But in general, that is one of the teams that moves the needle so much on a national level that agents will certainly float it, even if it's not especially true.
Thank you so much for your time, Jordan. Enjoy week 6, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Guys, I really love the show and would be happy to come on anytime. Thank you so
much. Sweet. Salute to you, man. That's awesome. Looking forward to Why is Draymond Green Talking About Football with Jordan Schultz. That's Thursdays, 6:30 Central there on the IG. I know we're going to be getting content from that.
Yeah.
You know, when Draymond starts talking about stuff, he has a way of putting things that goes viral.
So, podcast is awesome, man.
Yeah, it's a good partner to have. You know, if you're a reporter, you know, teaming up with, maybe the next
I don't know if calling him a Charles Barkley would be a compliment to him, but as far as the way that you can polarize audience and gain attention, I think maybe that that analogy could hold. Okay, Woolchuck, NFL news of the day is coming up next. Where are you taking us?
Potential Cowboys history. Did Troy ever consider deleting this tweet? And do you like this nickname?
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Next. Welcome back, Nation. Home of the Cowboys, Zeke has spoken as Cowboys practice rolls on, saying some interesting things about his role and his carry. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. We're going to get to that and so much more right here with Woolchuck's NFL News of the Day. It's also brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. You know, Krusty's Corner's coming up at 340. He's scouting out the Lions defense. Let you know what you got to do to put a 40 burger on them and have a chance of winning this game. Okay, here's Woolchuck with that NFL news.
Here's your Cowboys injury report for today. So Trayvon Diggs did not practice. That's due to an illness, apparently the same illness that Marquise Bell mispracticed with yesterday. He was a full participant today, so hopefully we get Diggs back tomorrow and he starts to feel better. Zach Martin did not practice with that back that he's been nursing. You also had Micah Parsons, of course, not practicing. But the big one, we're going to have to ask our guy coming up around 5 o'clock-ish, Eric Kendricks, did not practice again. Second straight day with a calf and a shoulder injury. So you've got him and Nick Vigil, who also hasn't practiced this week with a foot injury. Two linebackers that are maybe questionable for this game against the Lions on Sunday. You're going to need them. So we got to find out from our guy, hey, man, are you going to be playing on Sunday? What's going on with this calf shoulder injury?
Yeah, dude, let's try and get him to break some news with us. Don't worry, guys. I'm playing.
Yeah, I'm playing. I'm playing. Don't worry. It's okay. I'm just going to
I'll be a full participant in the game on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Ezekiel Elliott, according to Calvin Watkins, while continuing to be a team guy, said he spoke with club officials about his role. So evidently not pleased, maybe, with the limited amount of carries and playing time to this point in the season. But I guess from my perspective, I just don't really know what Zeke was thinking. You know, I mean, for us, I think we've looked at this and felt Rico's your best chance. And, you know, Zeke can come in and be an interchangeable piece to spell him. But maybe Zeke still feels like he could be a starting running back.
Players are usually the last to know, you know. And I'm not surprised that, you know, he would, if he was asked about it, you know, not be real clear on why he's not getting more looks. But I think it's clear to everybody else.
If he'd have practiced more this summer, then maybe they would have figured that out.
Yeah.
I mean, he was kind of a bubble wrapped guy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there was like, you saw the other backs getting reps, getting opportunity, kind of showing what they're at. I don't blame the coaches. They probably looked at what he was doing and said, you know what, man, we can't win football games with this guy playing this way. So, you know, but that's, you just, you know, that's unfortunate right there. That should have been better evaluation of the situation.
Yeah, I'm sure he's looking at that Rico play where the game almost ends there at the goal line and thinking, like, that should be me.
Well, you know what?
And that isolated incident, I can understand why he would feel that way. But generally speaking, it's tough not to have the self-awareness and understanding of just where you are at physically.
The fact that he wasn't on the field should have been told him all he needed to know, to be honest with you.
Well, and also, play was designed with Martin pulling to be kicked outside.
Lattermilk got penetration. I don't know how he was going to get to the edge.
Yeah.
That's why he was,
should you be pulling at the inch line? Just pushing dudes on their back?
There's situations where pulling guards on the goal line, I think, is a terrible idea.
I'm with you.
Even on the third and short or down.
You're asking the center, you're asking a rookie center to have to make that cutoff block down there. And if you don't get that block, you saw exactly what happened, that there was penetration and the back has to try and cut it back and get to the goal line, you know, and hey, Roberts made a hell of a play. I mean, he timed it from depth.
He did.
To get there, you know, it was one of those, it was like the Roy Williams play in the Oklahoma game, you know, Oklahoma, yeah. Texas game.
That leaping over.
Yeah. But that's, you know, if they didn't have penetration, that ball's going to the edge and it's a walk-in touchdown.
Yeah, it would have been. I mean, the play worked. Martin had his guy.
But pulling guys in the goal line is...
But that guy came free. Yeah. Now, speaking of Rico, though, he can make Cowboys history on Sunday. So he's got back-to-back games with a receiving touchdown. Never been in the history of Dallas Cowboys football three straight games with a running back getting a receiving touchdown. If he does it against the Lions, it's historic.
Get ready for red zone screen.
You think he can? I mean, I was stunned. I mean, out of all the Tony Dorsett,
yeah,
Preston Pearson, Emmett, Moose, Zeke,
Preston Pearson,
Herschel Walker.
The name you mentioned with Preston Pearson, that's the one. That's a good pull.
Yeah,
because he was kind of your original third down guy.
It's crazy. I mean, yeah, so many good running backs have played with the Cowboys, and
DeMarco Murray,
DeMarco Murray, another good one.
Yeah.
Three straight games you've never had a running back with a receiving touchdown. Two is the longest streak. That's incredible. So we'll see if he's able to do that. Even you know, Tony Pollard being one of those guys. Now, that's also in the same season. So we'll see if Rico's able to do that.
Okay, I'm trying to look at the all-timer here.
Receiving touchdowns?
Yeah.
Don Perkins, like earlier in the 60s?
All-time Cowboys running back, receiving
Dwayne
touchdowns
Thomas.
Leader. Well, I'm just trying to see who in the NFL, like in the NFL, what's the longest streak. If it's for the Cowboys, two games in a row of a running back.
I bet you look up San Francisco's Roger Craig.
Roger Craig. Okay.
Look up Roger Craig.
McCaffrey had like quite a long streak.
Or go to McCaffrey. Touchdowns. I'm thinking like Marshall Faulk or like LT.
Darren Nelson from Minnesota.
Yeah. Those are all good pulls.
Yeah. Thinking of third down backs.
Yeah.
Roger Craig would make a lot of sense.
Roger Craig would. Now, let's keep the running back conversation going while you look at that, Eric. But David Montgomery has revealed the nickname for him and Jahmyr Gibbs in the backfield. He was talking with Kyle Long on CBS Sports, and do you like this nickname for the running back duo in Detroit?
Describe to me the dynamic between you and Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah, that's my guy. I knew he was special before he got here. So I think we got a new name going around. I think it's Sonic and Knuckles, and I happen to be Knuckles, so which is cool. I like that one. me and Jameer, like, we go hand in hand. And I think, like, a lot of people kind of see it in one light. Like, Jameer is a guy who could just do this kind of skill, and I'm a guy that just does this kind of skill. But, like, anybody who really watches, like, they see, like, I can move a lot better than people think that I really can. Like, I'm strong and I'm powerful, but, like, I'm actually pretty shifty, too. And Jameer, like, he's fast and he's shifty, but, like, he's strong, too. Yeah, we can do anything as long as we keep each other accountable.
Now, is Knuckles a character in Sonic the Hedgehog?
Yeah. I think There's actually a Knuckles show that's come out on Paramount Plus that's part of that new, like, Sonic universe they're doing with these Sonic movies. So they're both characters.
I kind of have fun passing time playing Sonic the Hedgehog, but I never really got into it. Yeah. So, I don't have really a great reference point for that, but I'd say it's pretty cool. You know, you get a good video game reference in there. That came into really my dark period of video gaming.
On the Sega Dreamcast?
Well, it was on a lot of Sega platforms.
Yeah,
because
that's
where
I started playing Sonic too.
Yeah,
it was fun.
About 19 years old to 25, you're just out there tearing stuff up.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have time for Sonic at that age.
It was a blast. Man, you know who has the most receiving touchdowns by a running back in Cowboys history?
Felix Jones?
For their whole career?
No, just for a season.
Tony Dorsett?
Most receiving touchdowns by a running back. He's done it twice. He's the top two. Six touchdowns and eight touchdowns receiving
in the
season. No.
DeMarco Murray? Ezekiel Elliott?
We got to go back to the 60s,
Barber.
Man.
Broadus, this is on you, man.
Is it Don Perkins?
It's not Don.
It's the old coach.
It's Dan Reeves.
Dan Reeves in 66 had eight receiving touchdowns, and in 67 he had six. Otherwise, the next closest is four. Richie Anderson in 2003 did it. Preston Pearson in 1977 did it, and then Timmy Newsom in 83.
Craig didn't have three straight games, Eric.
Man. I mean, Emmitt had three. Zeke had three. Tony Pollard had three receiving touchdowns in a season. Dorsett with three. Ron Springs with three. That's amazing. That's not like a nugget that I ever thought of when it came to receiving touchdowns by Cowboys running backs. It just doesn't happen a lot.
That's true. That is probably the one. You and I have discussed nuggets a ton.
I know. We love
nuggets. That's the one nugget we really haven't glossed over.
Big time nuggets.
Probably to get real creative with the lack of weapons.
Yeah. Yeah. And then these wide receivers just hogging them all. You know, Dez and Michael Irvin and Drew Pearson. You know, the list goes on and on. Let's get to Troy Aikman, who is talking with Pardon My Take on Barstool Sports. Now, you guys remember he had that tweet about Patrick Mahomes? There was an article written about him comparing Mahomes and himself.
Needs to win more championships?
He said, let me know when he has 33% of the Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. You know, that type of thing. So
yes, dude, I do remember this. This recirculates every year because Mahomes keeps winning Super Bowls.
So the fellows on Pardon My Take are kind of busting Troy's balls, and we know Troy had the best balls, but here's part one asking Troy about that.
So here's what happened. I don't even hardly get on Twitter, but in 2019, I just happened to get on it and I was looking at my replies and this one comes up. Whoever this writer was, like, why would he compare Patrick Mahomes, his stats, to me? Like, I was never known as a stats guy.
True.
Why wouldn't he compare Mahomes' stats to Dan Marino or Joe Montana or somebody like that? So when I read it, I felt like the writer was taking a shot at me. You know, I thought, I said, this jackass. I mean, like, what, and does yards or any of that even matter? Do touchdowns even matter? At the end of the day, for a quarterback, the only thing that matters is winning championships. I mean, that's all that we're ultimately judged on. So at the end of the day, the championships, in my opinion, and I know that sounds self-serving because I was able to win three, but that's what matters. So I thought this writer was, I just thought, what do numbers mean? It's irrelevant. So my reply was really a shot back at the writer to say, hey, this is what matters.
Right.
Hey, it was never a shot at Patrick Mahomes.
And that's a good clarification. Now Big Cat really wanted to just get to, okay, but have you thought about deleting the tweet, Troy?
I was just thinking about this too, because again, I'm not on Twitter that much, but I don't think I've ever deleted a tweet.
No, you shouldn't delete it. This one's funny because it goes viral every time he wins the Super Bowl, which is every year now.
Yeah, and trust me, I know it goes viral. I see it.
So funny, man. But yeah, I guess just let it out there. Just let it, like, maybe Mahomes finishes with 5 Super Bowls. Now he's eclipsed you, man.
At this point, who cares, man? It's just funny.
Lean into it.
I love when Troy just gets a little toxic, though. Yeah. God, that's such good content.
It is.
Well, thank you, Woolchuck. NFL news today. Most days in the 3 o'clock hour here in the G-Bag Nation. You've been waiting for it. It is time now for Krusty's Corner with Broadus. What's in store, buddy?
Yeah, let's talk about this Detroit Lion defense. I think there's some areas you can actually attack. We'll do that next.
Sounds terrific. Thank you, Lucius. Sports Hodgepodge coming up here at 4 o'clock. Time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Let's learn about that Lions defense. Here's Brian.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Thank you very much to Reliant as well for being a part of this. Eric, Christian McCaffrey in 2023 had 3 straight games, weeks 6, 7, and 8. And he's had 2 straight games. He had it in 17, 18, and 19.
So that's the all-time running back.
That's what I'm just kind of, I was going through.
Like, I can't find it anymore.
I was going through Franco Harris. I was going through all the NFL running backs that are all-time scorers and stuff like that. But then I said, okay, let me check what Christian McCaffrey's done. And he did it. He did 3 straight, like I said, in 2023, weeks 6, 7, and 8. And then like in 17, 18, and 19, he had a chance to do it, and he didn't get it on the 3rd game.
Mm.
So it was only 1 time, though, that he had that opportunity.
Cool. All right. That's good to know. Thank you.
He only completed that 1 time. It showed you. Guy couldn't stay healthy, but all of a sudden he goes to San Francisco.
Well, it helps when you're in an offense like that. It really shows how difficult it is to be a runner catching passes, touchdown passes at that rate. It's a difficult thing to do.
All right. Dawson, it's funny. You were teasing about that you might have to score a ton of points in this game.
Yeah, 40.
Yeah, I think that you're going to have to score a ton of points.
How easy are we looking?
But I think the Lions will maybe give you that opportunity. And I say this in a way that they're going to play a ton of base personnel. Whether you're in 11 or 12, they're going to play you pretty straight up.
I think they play base more than anybody in the league.
They are one of the top teams in the league when it comes to base defense.
At least 50% of the time.
It's exactly right. They're one of the few teams that plays base over 50%. And so where your thought is going into there is that you have a quarterback that thrives against teams that play base defense. He has not been sacked yet this year against a team that's played base against him. It's about Dak Prescott.
Yep.
And his numbers, his success rate for plays, I looked this up because I was curious because of how much they play. The league average is 48% on teams that when you play base defense, success rate of plays.
Yeah.
Dak's over 60%.
Okay.
Well over 60. He's number one in the league against the teams playing base defense.
And that's just all plays? That's not passing plays? That's just all plays?
All plays.
Wow. Okay. So Cowboys offense in general, dominating base.
Yeah. Wow. So the base defense. So now, where this game is going to come down to your ability. They do not have, in my opinion, a rusher opposite Aiden Hutchinson in this game. They don't have him. He is the primary pressure player for this football team.
That makes sense because I keep seeing the Lions connected with pass rushers at the trade deadline.
Well, because like they lost Marcus Davenport. That was their big offseason signing.
That's huge.
He was a big part of what they were doing. But they also lost Derek Barnes in the Arizona games.
Yeah.
In the Arizona game, excuse me. I was watching the tape. He blew out his knee. And so he was really one of the primary pass rushers along with Aiden Hutchinson. Now, this team is one of the lowest ranked teams in the league when it comes to pressure overall. And Aiden Hutchinson, he generates almost 38% of their pressures. But other than that, they're down in the 20s. So if Dallas can find a way, now this is how this is going to be key because he's going to play both sides. So you have to kind of figure out how you want to play them. Teams have done this. He still is capable of getting pressure on him, but teams have figured out you chip him with multiple guys. You chip him with a back. You maybe chip him again with a tight end. And then you get him onto a offensive tackle. So teams have kind of chip, then go put your tackle on him. Don't leave him one-on-one because that's how he's going to beat you right there.
Yeah. So
Dallas is going to have to be committed to trying to slow him down. I you know, he got after Steele last year in this game. It was a rough game for Steele. Number of rush attempts and pressures and sacks, not good. So they're going to have to figure out ways on both sides. You're likely going to get Guyton playing the left tackle in this game. So with that being the case, this guy's going to flop either left or right. Got to be ready for that. And when he's on that side, whatever side it is, you've got to account for him.
Help every time, you think?
I think so. If they
don't have anybody else.
I think you have to be committed. I think you have to be committed to saying, okay, we are not going to let him beat us in this game. Mm-hmm. Not when we can handle everybody else. You know, not when we can handle all the other blocks one-on-one. We have to commit something to taking care of this guy.
Kind of sounds like if you put Tyler Smith out there at left tackle, though, you'd have a better chance considering Guyton leads the league in penalties.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have to figure this out. And you're right. I think their best five is if they were to do that, but they won't do that. They're going to play the kid. And you know, he is their future. And that's
developmental year. Have at it.
Absolutely. All right. This secondary, okay, it's completely revamped from where you were last year. Okay. Because last year when you played these guys in week 17, Cam Sutton was one of the corners. Mm-hmm. He's now with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
They killed Cam Sutton in this game last year. Absolutely just lit him up. And so they went out. They got Arnold. They drafted him in the first round, Terrion Arnold from Alabama. And then they traded for Carlton Davis. Okay. You think the rookie is the one that's kind of having the problems here? It's actually Carlton Davis is having a little bit more problems when you watch him play. Quarterback ratings are really, really good against him. It's over 109. Targets are high. Receptions are high with Carlton Davis. They're going to play a ton of man coverage on you too. Now, they will give you, the problem is they're one of the better tight window secondaries in the league. But your quarterback's used to playing tight window throws.
That's been all season long.
So, but I feel like, though, and the reason I think they play so much base in the match is because of Brian Branch. He's the safety. He is a really, really good football player. But he's a corner that could also play safety, and he can also cover.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you need to worry about in this game is, okay, do they commit with help with Arnold and Davis? Do they give him help with Kirby Joseph, this other safety?
It's our buddy, Kirby Joseph. We had him on the nosebleed seats.
Big fan of his.
Kirby Joseph could shade to the CeeDee Lamb side to help the corner, and then they could turn around and put Brian Branch on Ferguson and say, okay, let's see if you could beat us with Tolbert and everybody else. So they I understand why they play so much base. It's because they have the ability to cover people in the back end. But they've had some struggles. Like I said, Carlton Davis has had some struggles when people have targeted him in games.
I'm interested tomorrow when you give us the official report.
It's John Hussey.
Like if Hussey's a big, you know, defensive holding, pass interference guy. Because I think Terrion Arnold, when I was watching them play the Seahawks Monday Night Football, had three penalties called against him. Now, the coverage was good, but he'd get flagged for some stuff.
I think the biggest problem with Arnold is that sometimes there's separation with him. When he's new to reading routes on the NFL level, and I think there's, you know, he's got the speed and the quickness to recover, but your receivers don't separate all that well, so they might play right into his hands. But there's opportunities here. I really do believe that. Now, running the football against these guys will be difficult.
They didn't even try much last year, did they?
No, not that much. Because they're big inside. DJ Reader's big inside. McNeil's big inside. They've got some guys. And these linebackers, Jack Campbell and Alex Anzalone, they play really tight to the line of scrimmage. And they step up.
We've seen Anzalone give the Cowboys fits.
Yeah. They've got a couple of guys that are really, those linebackers are pretty darn good. This one could come down very well to you and your ability to throw and how well you handle Aiden Hutchinson in this game.
Well, CeeDee Lamb had like a career game last year.
Against guys that aren't there anymore.
Okay.
That's the problem. He was outstanding last year against Cam Sutton. And Cam Sutton's now on commissioner's suspended list with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They've totally revamped their secondary with their corners. know, but there's still, I think there's still some opportunities there because the pass rush, it's not what you think it's going to be. You know, it's going to be that one guy, and I'll be interested to see how much they really, really bring blitzes and stuff. I don't think they want to do that. I think they're all about trying to play coverage and then make sure their linebackers get drops and things like that. But if you can win some matchups here, and I think it's going to come in the form of taking advantage of number 23, Carlton Davis, in this game.
Sounds terrific. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. It'd be exciting if the Cowboys can exploit those openings and keep up with them on the scoreboard. It's, a tough one being a 3.5-point home dog. You don't find that very often. That tells you Vegas thinks the Lions are significantly better. But as a man who's lost 4 out of 5 weeks in G-Bag Survivor, and I can tell you, every time I've picked no worse than a 6.5-point dog, lost 4 out of 5 of those.
It's been the year of the dogs, man.
It has. You know, maybe it's the Cowboys' big week here. Coming up next, it's time for a sports hodgepodge. Chief, what do you have?
The college dream is being lived out in the SEC. That's next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.